Hello and welcome. You're tuned in to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. It's exciting times. We've got a good friend of ours joining the show. He has been a part of our show now, boy, since I think 2006. And you will recognize him as having been on just about every paranormal show under the sun. He is an amazing investigator, researcher, and a medium, a sensitive. And that is why he is one of the most sought-after personalities on paranormal programming, from ghost adventures to ghost hunters, dead famous, you name it. He's made an appearance on it at some point. He's working on a new program that will be airing over in England, and with luck will be airing here in the United States shortly thereafter. He's here with us again, our good friend Chris Fleming. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me, Dave. I appreciate it.
Hey, it's great to have you on, and this is a good topic to cover. I love this stuff, and I've had so many people email me requesting us to do a conversation regarding animals and spirits of animals and communication with spirits of animals. And it's funny to me that people are so easy to believe that we as humans have a soul, and that once we pass on, we can live outside of our physical form. But some people have a really hard time believing that our pets, our animals and creatures, great and small, will also walk the earth or can. Why do you think it's so perplexing for people to believe that animals either don't have a soul or wouldn't hang around or haunt us?
Probably the first thing is because talking to them, you know, it's not like they completely talk back in English or any type of language that we're familiar with, that type of thing. And in some ways, people would sense, because a lot of them walk on all fours, or they don't stand completely upright like we do, and there's the misleading that people think that they don't have relationships, they don't have friendships. And for those that obviously have pets, obviously been around animals, they know that they interact in relationships, friendships. When they lose a partner or a friend and that other particular animal passes away, they go into mourning. They grieve. And they even grieve for humans. And we've seen this with dogs. It's incredible. So I think people that state that, either they're afraid, they haven't been educated or raised in a way to really show compassion or respect to animals, or the third thing is they're just not educated on it. They don't understand what really goes on with animals, the behaviors.
The idea that our spirit and or our animals have a spirit, that's something that, I don't know, brings a lot of comfort to me, brings a lot of comfort to others that love animals and have that. And there have been some remarkable stories where people have seen almost like glowing blue deer by the side of the road. They'll see animals that seem to be emitting kind of a bluish glow. And that to me is fascinating, that these animals, you know, that's kind of this proof that we exceed our physical form as well. When animals' consciousness is so strong that it can still hold a form of something that it recognized itself to be. That's pretty impressive. Or do you think that in those cases with the car accidents that may have killed that deer or the animals by the road, do you think that is a residual that we're seeing, or do you believe that it is a truly disembodied spirit that's standing there maybe trying to figure out what happened?
Well, I think it could be both. I mean, we see this all the time in human-type spirits. The same thing is going to occur with animals, because there has been sightings of horses with carriages going down a road. A ghost goes into the lake, you know, such as in Bachelor's Grove. So are we seeing actual a ghost, or are we seeing residual energy from something that happened in the past? And then we have sightings and communication with animals that are interacting with their loved ones, you know, such as myself, having experiences with my cats where they've reappeared or they've interacted or left messages. There's stories upon stories upon stories. When people have lost a pet, they've had to put it to sleep, or they died from a tragic death, that they've had an encounter, an experience or encounter within days, sometimes almost immediately after these things have occurred. So I believe it's both, Dave. You know, I believe that there are the spiritual energies, the consciousness of these animals that can sometimes come back and give messages, but there's also the residual. And when we talk about residual, I mean, that goes into a lot of quantum physics. It goes into recordings, entanglements, consciousness, memory, stuff that exists throughout the entire universe that somehow, some way, a little bit of it, a little piece of it, a little motion, a little frame like we see in film shows itself for a brief moment and we catch a glimpse of it. That's the residual that we sometimes see.
I have had really cool experiences in the realm of the paranormal, and I've been with you on many of those occasions when we've caught disembodied voices and we've seen shadow people with our own eyes walking from room to room at Rolling Hills Asylum together. And, you know, we've heard disembodied voices, DVP, direct voice phenomena, out loud together at the Queen Mary in the pool. That's all been really remarkable to me. But two of the most impactful moments I ever had, Chris, to be honest with you, was I had a ghost cat that was messing with me for about an hour during a meditation program at a haunted location here in Minnesota, and didn't realize that it was a ghost cat until after about 30, 40 minutes of it playing around and rubbing against my arm and my hand and trying to get my attention. I finally gave in and I wasn't going to make any connections to the spirit world. So I opened my eyes and I was looking at this, what I believe was going to be one of these big thick Angora cats that she had walking around. And instead my hand is stroking the empty air, but I could feel the skin. I could feel the purr. I could feel the fluff between my fingers from this cat. And I snapped my hand back. A few days later, one of the girls that was off to my side said, "I have to ask you a weird question." And she said, "Did you feel like there was a cat around us that night?" She goes, "I opened up my eyes. There was no cat in that room, but I could have sworn I saw you petting something that was not there, and it kept bothering me." And that was one of those holy cow moments for me. And then I went to Georgia when we were at one of the ghost stock events run by Patrick Burns. And I had been put off into one of the shops, and I was in there doing an investigation and caught on recording, or I'm sorry, it was in Salem. That's where it was, Salem, Massachusetts. I caught on recording as the guy's talking to me about his dog and this room where this dog used to lay in his store. This overwhelming smell of dog urine starts to permeate the air.
Oh, wow.
And as he's talking, I play back the recording, and he goes, "Yeah, it's been really rough ever since we lost Buddy." And as soon as he says the name, you hear this right into my recorder. And we were just flabbergasted to hear that immediate playback. So that really kind of impacted me a little bit more even than the ghosts and shadow people I've seen. And that was really kind of fascinating. That was a neat aspect of this whole realm and the idea of the paranormal. And man, I've gotten to become closer with animals myself now. And have found this really strange affinity with them that I never have honestly had in the past. I've had a couple of great dogs I loved, but I've never been as close as I have been to the pets I have now. And I can see there is definitely a spiritual resonance, which I never experienced before. When my mom passed away, my cat would not leave me alone. It constantly came to me to groom me and would cuddle up to me when I was having a rough time. It was really amazing. And there's other times this cat will not come anywhere near me. But if it senses I'm not feeling well or I'm in a depressed state, this cat and now my others will not leave my side. They are there like they're trying to protect me, like they're trying to give me warmth and comfort.
Right.
It's really kind of amazing to see this trigger tripped. And I wish more people could open up and realize this is more than just something that just lives in your home and sometimes you pay attention to it and sometimes you don't. These spirits are strong and they are aware of us and what we're doing.
Absolutely. You know, and it never ceases to amaze me the expression that animals can have, whether it's in the physical realm or even in the spiritual realm. You know, I had, last year I dated this one girl for a few months and I remember I stayed over and I got woken up by something purring. And I go, "Oh, she has a cat." So I go and I reach my arm around it, you know, and there's like nothing there. I'm like, "What?" I go, "Maybe it ran away." And then I felt something butting my head and the purring. And then I looked and I didn't see anything. And then I saw a little bit of, because the moonlight was coming through the drapes, I saw semi-transparent, and I realized, oh my God, it's a ghost. So when it was early morning, she woke up. I said, hey, do you have a cat? She was like, no, I used to. And I go, you used to? How long ago? He goes, oh, we had to, she goes, I don't like talking about it, but we had to put her to sleep a couple months ago. I was really devastated. And I said, did she used to like jump up on your bed and butt your head? And then she just purr and lay right next to you. She's like, yeah, all the time. I said, well, she's still here. She's like, what? She's like, oh, no, don't tell me that. I said, why? Don't you miss your cat? So some people get freaked out about it. Even though they love the animal and they miss the animal so much, they just shut it off. They don't want to talk about it. Even if you tell them, well, guess what? It's still here. It just freaks some people out.
And why? I don't understand. You think there would be some comfort to that. Or is it the fact that maybe you just feel like the pet's staying for the wrong reasons? You know, you want like, relatives and people you love, you wish you could get some kind of connection to them, but you also, truly, you want them to go to wherever they need to go next for healing or rebirth or whatever. Right. And I wonder if it's with pets that even maybe impacts people more that way, because they just feel like, I have no way to tell this animal to go where it needs to be.
Right.
You know?
Well, one of the things, too, I think that's important, like you just stated with the hard time you're going through and the animal is there. I've had cats my whole life, practically. And I've got three wonderful, blessed cats right now that were given to me for an obvious reason, to help me through all the challenges that I've been going through in the last 8 years. If it wasn't for them, life would have been just so much more difficult. But the one thing that I found is amazing, and there's a couple things that I want to point for your listeners, and I think your listeners are going to be amazed by this, but I think it's going to bring them a great comfort too, because it's a question that comes up a lot at these lectures and presentations, is, do animals have souls? And when they're on the other side, are they aware of us like we believe, relatives and loved ones are? And then the question that pops up a lot is, can they come back? And I never was able to answer that because I didn't know. I didn't communicate that with animals. I wasn't really communicating with animals. It was mostly just spirits. Until, I had two cats previously. The one passed. He was 20 years old. The only interaction I had with him a couple of nights, I woke up after he passed and I could have sworn he was there and he was pawing me and whether it was just grieving, whether it was not, it was hard for me to tell that early stage when I was in college. But then when I had the third cat that I had, Squirty, who I was so close to, and the vets had told me that he started having seizures and I should probably put him to sleep. And they say he's probably only got a couple weeks or 2 months to live. And I just felt, no, I'm not going to. We lived for 2 years. Okay, I decided not to put him to sleep. I did go back two other times to finally do it. Not finally do it, but thinking I was going to do it. And I broke down so bad in the animal hospital that I walked right out. I said, I can't do it. And I felt like maybe I was being selfish, maybe I wasn't. But the cat lived for two more years. And during that time, we bonded even more. He always slept by my side. Every night he would sleep curled up at my chest. And here's what was amazing. We all sleep usually on our back or on our sides, and we'll flip throughout the night. Sometimes we're aware of it, sometimes we're not. I'm usually aware of it because I'm a light sleeper. So I'll wake up and I'll roll over to the other side. Every time I did that, Squirt would get up. And like some cats, they'll walk right over you or jump over you. Nope, Squirt would walk all the way around the bed and come lay back down in my chest. And I used to sometimes just flip back and forth to see if he'd do it. And he kept doing it. And he'd go like, "Ram," like, stop, right? But that was the love. He had to be there. And I loved it. I looked down at him. He'd look up at me and I'd kiss him on his forehead. And he'd cry a little bit in the sense of love. And I was just, wow, you're my buddy. You're my buddy. So when the time came that I had to put him to sleep, I asked my mom to go with me because I needed someone to be there. And put him on the table. And what was odd is they injected him first to where he's semi-paralyzed. And I remember they did that, and I'm looking in his eyes and tears coming down. I'm looking in his eyes, and I said, I love you very much, and I thank you for choosing me, because this cat appeared in my life when I was in college sitting on top of my car when I came back from a bar. This little kitten from nowhere was there, so obviously he chose me. And I said, thank you for choosing me. I will see you again. The doctor came in, and when they injected him and he passed, immediately I felt another cat that was good friends with this cat, but yet was my mom's cat and was put asleep about a year or two before. You know, I look at my mom, I said, oh my God, do you feel it? My mom goes, yes, Kit Kat. My mom said exactly what I was feeling. The other cat had come forward. Now the other cat came forward because when we had gotten Kit Kat, the other two old cats we had in the house would attack Kit Kat. So Kit Kat would hide, was terrified to come out. But Squirty would go down to the basement and sit there and patiently wait for Kit Kat to come out, and they became buddies. And Squirty would fight the other cats or get mad at the other cats if they ever bothered Kit Kat. And then eventually all the cats got along. But Squirty was there for Kit Kat when he came into our home. So now what's happening is Squirty has passed away. We both felt, my mom immediately felt Kit Kat. Kit Kat came back for Squirty to help Squirty cross over.
That's beautiful. And the fact that you kind of get that cycle, you know, that circle of life and death feeling that they're there and that they're there for one another. You know, there's a famous photograph. I know you've seen it, that Echo Bodine had, I believe, shown us quite a few years ago regarding a young boy here in Minnesota that was killed in a car wreck. He was a hockey player. And the police officers took photographs of this crash, and they found there was all of these weird effects in the photographs. And in the final photograph, it appears that there is a young man screaming standing next to the car. And it looks like the young man that slumped over in the front seat. But what's standing next to him looks to be like a black Labrador retriever. And when the family saw this, I guess they immediately identified this as his dog that had preceded him in death. And they believe the dog was there to help guide him over.
Wow. Yep.
Yeah. Do you remember that picture? I mean, it's powerful. If I can find it, I'll try to post it on my Facebook page here today so that it's available for you and our listeners can see it there. But and I'll post it with this episode. But it is really a powerful image. And, that's just something so remarkable, again, to know that our companions are there. Do you remember, I know you and I grew up loving the Twilight Zone. And do you remember the episode with the little old man and his dog, and they're walking up the dirt road, and he sees the sign to heaven, and he goes to go in, and they said, well, you come on in, but your dog has to stay out here. And he goes, well, no, this is my dog. He's got to come with me. And they wouldn't accept the dog. And he just felt like something was off. And the guy's, you know, dressed nicely in a suit, and he's trying to get him into the gates. And then he goes, no. And he goes walking up the road a little further and finds real heaven. And that was hell. And hell didn't want the dog. Hell didn't want the purity of the animal. So I just always loved that episode.
What a great episode.
Yeah.
What a great episode. You know what's amazing is, I mean, you know, Squirty had passed away, I can't remember the year, I think about 2005 it was. And maybe 2004 or somewhere around there. But, you know, when I was doing Dead Famous, you know, I was channeling and everything. And I just started channeling like around 2001, 2000. And I remember a friend of mine would come over to my house and I would channel for him. And I would tell him some questions. And he would ask these questions for me. And I would channel whatever entity came through. And I remember I used to channel just the craziest stuff. And I remember all of a sudden I felt this lion come through me. And I roared, and he was just like, what the hell? Then all of a sudden, I saw my pets on the other side. I saw Squirt, and Squirt came through. And I was communicating with Squirt, and I don't even know what the term would be, as if I was conscious of it, but I was also speaking to him, which you could hear me speaking, but then I was also speaking what Squirty was saying through his consciousness. Obviously, he wasn't speaking, but his consciousness was relaying the same type of information we relate to one another. And Squirty was saying that, you know, Tigger was going to be dying in a couple years. And I told him, I said, well, I'm not going to get any more cats after that. He says, no, why? He says, you can always love us through another. And I said, love you through another? He goes, yeah, you can get another pet and love us. And I said, well, yeah, I know you're up there and I'm down here and I can hold the cat. He's like, no, you don't understand. I said, no, I don't understand. He goes, you can love us through another. I said, okay, whatever you mean. Well, years later, you know, I had to put Tigger to sleep. And when I put Tigger to sleep, that was really tough because Tigger was the last cat from all the cats that I had. And it was like six or seven. And it was brutal. But he was blind. He was peeing all over the place for like 2 years. and he could barely walk, and then he was starting to have pain. So I went to the vet. Doctor came. I said, I want to hold him. I want to feel his soul. I want to hold him. Sure enough, she injects him, and I feel something go through my arms. And all of a sudden, I see this ghost, this heavy-set man in a white T-shirt. His hair's all messed. It was almost like a cartoon character, but it was literally a physical, spiritual-type male entity. He walks through, and he goes to scoop up my cat. And I see the soul of Squirt. And I look at him, well, what are you doing? And he looks at me, he's like, what? And he looks at me, looks at my mom. My mom doesn't respond to him, but I respond to him. And he's like, wait, you can see me? I said, yeah, I can see you. I go, what the hell are you doing? My mom's like, who are you talking to? I'm like, Mom, quiet. I go, what the hell are you doing with my cat? He's like, I go, talk to me. He's like, I love animals. And, you know, I lost one of my pets when I was younger. So I don't want them to feel alone because I was alone my whole life. And then when I died, I wanted to make sure animals weren't alone when they died. So I just keep them company until they come for them. And I said, listen, I don't know you, but if you hurt my cat in any such way, he's like, no, seriously. I was really kind of freaked out by this guy being there. And so all of a sudden I see him slowly like vanish. He disappears. And I tell my mom, mom's like, oh, you're just, I go, Mom, I wasn't imagining. I'm telling you. So that was a Saturday morning. You know, I put Tigger to sleep. Sunday night, I was working on my computer. I decided to go upstairs, and for some stupid reason, I'll go see what Tigger's doing. Because I'm always used to Tigger sitting on the second floor railing, just looking down. He would always be up there. I'd have the cat box up there, and he would sleep in my room, and he would just sit there when I'm downstairs. So I go up to see him, and then I realize, oh, my God, I just put him to sleep yesterday. And I fell down onto the steps, and I started crying because I missed him. Now, here's a cat that really wasn't that affectionate. And I always wanted him to be affectionate, right. But he was such a gorgeous cat and a wonderful cat, but yet he played a lot, very playful, but just not affectionate. So I go into my meditation room and I say, Squirt, you know, not Squirt, I say, Tigger, please, I need to know you're okay. You know, I did everything for you. I loved you, and you really never loved me back, and this and that. We're affectionate like the other cats. Please, you owe me. Give me a sign you're okay. All of a sudden, for at least 8 to 10 seconds, I hear this mew, 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 mew. And I sit up and I'm like, what the hell? And it's coming from the landing. It's coming from where the stairs go down. And Tigger used to always, when I used to call him, he'd go mew, mew, just once or twice. But now I'm hearing it for about 8 to 10 seconds. I go racing to the hallway right by the landing. I'm like, Tigger, Tigger, Tigger. And I'm freaked out now. Are you okay? Are you okay? Because I'm thinking he, you know, was crying for like 8 to 10 seconds that maybe something's wrong. And then I feel this voice say, Chris, calm down. What was the question you asked? Tigger, give me a sign you're okay. And then I realized, oh, my God, he gave me a sign. He's okay.
That had to be a big comfort to kind of have that connection.
It was. But
is that a surprise to you? I mean, you're a medium. There's a lot of people like me that don't really have any kind of ability that we've honed and done this. So do you get kind of I don't want to say jaded, but do you almost get numb to the kind of surprises like that because it's just like an everyday occurrence for you to have the spirits of animals and humans make themselves known to you?
I might get a little selfish with them because I get some pretty incredible, amazing signs, but I need it continuously.
Sure.
You know, I need those reminders. I really do because life is such a challenge. And I guess the greatest thing that happened was and I remember a girl I used to date in Vegas, used to go visit her and everything, and she was wonderful with animals. She had a cat, and she adored the cat. But she used to feed some of the homeless cats in the area. And long story short, she says, you need to get one of these cats. You need to save them. You need to save them. I guess the association was going to scoop them all up, take them to the shelter. And as we know, in Vegas, they got 24 hours, and they're gassed. And she's like, Chris, you got to save this. And she sent me a picture, and I said, all right, I'm coming. And I've seen a cat. I saw a cat like 8 months before come up. We fed it right at the front door. I remember looked at me. I said, don't give me those eyes. Don't give me those eyes. I'm not taking you. But 8 months later, I flew to Vegas. I got Noir. Now he's a 28-pound black coon cat. He's been by my side since the day I got him. He is my buddy, and he is affectionate. He goes everywhere with me. But then I ended up getting a white cat because I always had a feeling about a white cat. And here's the interesting story about the white cat. I had met this girl. We became really good friends. She was on a cruise I was on with some of her friends. Ran into her. And she recognized me from TV but never said anything. So she kept popping up every day. Hey, how are you? How are you? And by the last night, I started talking to her. We got to know each other. And she told me she runs a rescue, a pet rescue, you know, north of Seattle, I guess in Oregon. And she told me the wonderful things she does and everything. I was like, wow. I said, yeah, you know, I just feel like I'm going to get another cat, you know, and it's either white or this or that, but I just have this feeling, you know, and the universe is going to bring it to me. But lo and behold, months later, she says, Chris, we just got a house that has 50 Persian cats. Half of them have to be put down because they're sick and diseased. But can you help me find home for them? I said, yeah, send me some pictures. The first picture she sends me is this white little fur ball. And I look at it, I go, oh, and I knew it. That's the one. I said, I want that cat. She's like, what? I said, no, I want that cat. She goes, are you serious? She goes, and I go, I want that cat. That's the cat that I've been seeing in my mind's eye. So I flew out to Seattle. I went and saw our good friend, Susan. I stayed at Susan's. She brought the cat from Oregon to Seattle and dropped it off. And I fell in love with this kid. But here's the best, that's really cool about that. A couple weeks before, she got all the paperwork ready and everything for me to travel, bring it on the airplane. She says, we have to name the cat. Do you have a name yet? I said, no, I just don't have a name. She's all right, well, I need a name within the next day or two. I said, all right. I said, I want it to be just the perfect name. So I remember I said, I'll sleep on it tonight. I wake up in the morning and I'm looking at the sun come through and I go, you know, I really hope that this white cat gets along with Noir. I want someone, because Noir's lonely. He needs a friend. And I really want them to get along. And all of a sudden I hear this voice in my head said, oh, you mean Sweden? I go, Sweden? And I sit up and he goes, yeah, that's her name. I go, oh my God. I jump down off of the bed, race downstairs, get my cell phone, and I text her. I said, Sweden, that's the cat's name. She writes back, that is a gorgeous name. I said, I know. She goes, how'd you come up with that? I go, spirits just told me that's her name. That's her real name in the spirit world. So sure enough, that became her name. It fits her perfectly. So I've got these two cats. They get along wonderfully, Dave. I got the black and white, yin and yang. I'm like, this is great. This is great. I'm happy. And I have an astral projection. Sometimes I'll leave my body when I'm sleeping. Sometimes it's out of body experience. Sometimes it's astral projection, soul travel. I'm on the other side, and there's two angels, one on each side. And they're real tall, about 10, 12 feet. Now, they're not warrior angels. They're just angels. And they're looking down, and I'm seeing my two cats playing, and we're watching from wherever we are in this astral plane, the two cats playing. I said, wow, you guys did it. You know, you knew I wasn't going to get any cats. Oh, no, we knew we could persuade you. And I said, yeah, I didn't want to get cats anymore because I just don't, you know, when they pass away, it's so hard.
Right.
And then the one starts laughing, and I go, why are you laughing? And he looks at the other angel, and I'm looking up because these things are 12 feet tall. And he says, should we tell him? And the other one goes, I don't know if we should tell him. I go, what? What do you want to tell me? I go, is one of them going to die? Oh, my God, please don't do this to me. They're like, well, no, we just can't tell you. I go, what? He goes, there's a surprise. And I said, a surprise? You know, and that's about it. I said, well, I'm not getting any more cats. And the one smiled. I said, no, 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 I'm not getting any more cats. Well, then I have a dream that there's, you know, another dream, and I'm in a basement. I see all these cats. And I see every cat I've ever had walk forward in sequence. And then I see the black cat, the white cat, and then I see another cat, and then another cat. I'm like, oh, I'm not getting more cats. Lo and behold, 2 years later, which was now 3 years ago, on Christmas, my sister secretly gives me a black and gray tabby kitten because a cat had gone into her barn, had an entire litter. She had to, it was freezing out, so she brought him into the house, found homes for him, and she decided to keep this one. Now, this, I decided to name it Noel because it was Christmas. Is Squirt. You'd be like, what? Noel is the reincarnation of Squirt. Because Noel started doing every single personality and characteristic that Squirty did. Now, Squirty was a male cat, but was a tabby. So after a couple of days, I started recognizing these personalities and behavior traits, and I started feeling it as if it was Squirty. So he's laying there, I go, Noel looks up at me. I go, doesn't come towards me. I said, Squirt, come here. Gets up and comes towards me and lays down just like Squirty used to do by my chest. Dave, I started bawling.
You can
love us through another.
Wow.
Scorty had come back, and the two angels didn't want to tell me that there was a surprise.
That's beautiful. And that was the two cats. You got two cats in one.
Well, I've got Noir, the black cat, Sweden, the white, and now I have Noel, who is the reincarnation of Scorty. All three of them get along.
Right, but you said in the dream, that they showed you one cat and then another one walked up. And you said, no, I'm not getting more cats. But it what it just sounds like you explained, Chris, is that you saw two cats come up and you ended up getting one, but that's a one and that's a two in one that you just ended up with.
I know.
That's beautiful.
And Noelle has taken over the household, moved up the chain. She is the queen bee of the house, out of everything. And she sleeps by my side every night, every single night. So I look at these three that I'm blessed. You know, when you say, you know, we go through challenges in life, you know, you got to look at what you have in life. And I look at these three beautiful, beautiful beings that all have their own personalities, but they all are affectionate in their own ways. And I feel completely blessed.
We've got to go to break here in a few moments. But before we do, let me talk to you about this real quickly. And then we've got a brand new Theater of the Mind that I think people are going to absolutely love. Very powerful story that'll come up in a few moments. But you talk about, can animals be reincarnated? I have run across a few people that believe that they have an animal or a pet that is a reincarnation of a family member. What can you tell me about that as a medium and somebody who talks to the other side? Do you believe we can come back as animals?
I honestly don't know. I know that we have different lives in different places, different dimensions. We can take the shapes and forms of different forms. I have seen ghosts in Jamaica turn into bats. Yeah, I saw the one turn into a bat at Rolling Hills. I saw one turn into a rat. I saw one a male ancient spirit turn into a child. You know, spirits can turn into animals, these ancient spirits that are intelligent about it. I don't have the knowledge to tell you whether or not we can be reincarnated as an animal. I've never really asked, and I've never been told.
That's something
that I believe
that,
anything's possible, though.
I've had numerous stories like that, Chris, and I find it beautiful that they have these stories where, you know, they're feeling very dark and lost. And on the anniversary of this person's death, this animal, whether it be dog or cat, has come into their lives unexpectedly and just like will not leave, complete stranger animal to them. And suddenly they bring the animal in and the animal starts, as weird as it sounds, starts doing things like the person that they're missing. Now, I don't know if that's like a mnemonic trigger and are we starting to, like, you know, pareidolia, are we starting to see patterns that aren't really there? You know, there's certainly that possibility. But in this case, they said that, you know, this one girl I remember specifically was telling me about her cat and how close she was with her grandfather. And when her grandfather died, it devastated her. And it was on the anniversary of her grandfather's death that this black cat showed up. And the grandfather used to joke around about hating cats, but the only ones he tolerated were black cats. And he would do this certain little deal at night where he just kind of had his little, ritual. And she ends up letting the cat into the house, laughing about it, going, oh, you know, my grandfather would have loved you and blah, blah, blah. And it trots over and starts doing the same motions that her grandfather would do before going to bed.
Wow.
And then it returned to her and sat in front of her. And she's looking at it like, what the hell did I just see? So she said, Dave, if you could hear a cat sigh, that's exactly what this cat did. It looked like its shoulders dropped, like it went, and then it went right back and did the exact same march around the living room and into the kitchen and then back to me again and sat there. And I thought, well, that's really unique. And you start to hear that story. And she said, and that cat will do that same repertoire every night, and she's kept the cat all along, but the cat seems to act like who she believes her grandfather's spirit is.
Anything is possible. And the thing is, with spirit, with creation, with the alternate realities that exist, consciousness, the ether, the universe, there's no limits. For the creator to experience everything and all things and all sequences, therefore it has to be possible for that to happen. But it could also be that her father on the other side is interacting his energy into that cat to give messages to her, which we know occurs with butterflies, with cardinals, with hummingbirds, is that they will give us messages from the other side, from loved ones. So messages can always be sent in so many different forms, even possibly maybe reincarnation.
All right, we need to take a break. We need to take a break, Chris. We'll come back. We'll continue this conversation and hear about other animal spirits and connections, and we can continue the conversation about reincarnation as well. But right now, we dug deep into the archives of Darkness Radio, and I found a story that I absolutely loved. I hope you'll enjoy it too. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy Theater of the Mind. Theater of the Mind. K911. The Christmas Miracle, as shared by Milo Stanley. About 7 years ago, I lost my longtime companion and cuddle buddy, Roger. Roger was basically a baby horse in the costume of a bull mastiff who thought he was about the size of a cat. Roger was my faithful fur friend, and he never left my side. And I mean never. Going to the bathroom, he would wiggle the door handle until it opened, and then sit in judgment watching me and wondering what the hell was wrong with me. Why couldn't I just poop in the yard, sandbox, flower bed, or anywhere else outside he was accustomed to? Many mornings, I would turn in the shower to find his massive head poked through the curtain staring at me, usually with a sad look on his face, as I'm sure he was again passing judgment. I would then try to rationalize and explain to him that my current state was simply because of the cold water. I don't think he bought it. He would slowly shake his head and slip out, leaving us both feeling a little more awkward for that moment. For a big dog, he loved to run, and run to the point of exhaustion. He would play fetch all day, any day, rain or shine. I had returned home from work and took my overly excitable pal for a walk and had planned a game of fetch when he suddenly and quite unexpectedly collapsed during the mid-run. At first, I laughed out loud as Roger had a way of letting his legs outrun the rest of his massive frame, and he would often end up in a heap on the floor after a crash-and-burn run. The only difference was, this time Roger didn't sheepishly get back up and look over his shoulder at me. He just laid there, sprawled out in a massive heap in the yard. It turned out he had suffered a massive stroke and died pretty much immediately. The house was never quite the same after Roger ran off to that big game of eternal fetch in the sky. I miss the sounds of his baby-like whimpering when he wanted treats. Or his snoring as he would lay upside down, feet in the air, sleeping along the bottom of my bed. I would never be met by his gentle nudging in the morning, shyly trying to get me to play fetch, or licking my hand to get a pat on the head or two. I was not yet ready to bring a new dog into the house. Roger had left a hole in my heart and in my life the size of a big old slobbery Mount Rushmore. Some nights, when I lay awake, missing his warmth, I would laugh myself sick with the memory of the way he would frighten himself awake by passing thunderous gas. Then he would shoot me a look of complete disgust, like he thought I had done it. I would sometimes catch what sounded like the padding of his steps up the hall toward the bedroom, but sadly, he would never come rushing in. And on occasion, I could swear in those moments as I was slipping off to sleep, I could feel my bed shift and the box spring creak like he had just laid his massive carcass on it to settle in for the night. Yes, I was missing the big guy, and it hurt. Flash forward to Christmas Eve about 3 years ago. I'd gone to bed after wrapping presents to take to my folks' house in the morning for the family festivities. It was late, and I was completely wiped out. I lumbered up the steps from the basement, then up to my room, where I melted into the bed and began a deep, peaceful sleep. That is, until around 4 a.m. That's when I felt something nudge my side. I shifted and assumed I'd almost fallen out of bed and must have corrected myself, so I moved more toward the center. A bit later, I could have sworn I felt the thick, affectionate lick of a dog tongue on my hand that hung over the bed. I simply pulled it back and under the covers and was back off to sleep, when all at once, I was startled awake with the thought, what the hell just licked me? I sat up, uneasy in my bed, shaking the mental cobwebs loose. I looked around my room, and as I began to slowly sink back down to a laying position, something unseen leapt onto my bed and I felt the bed give way beneath its mass. The springs of the bed groaned, and again my eyes sprung open to full alert. That was when I swear I could feel the hot, panting breath of my long-gone dog blowing across my face. That was followed by a very loud and terse... I knew I wasn't dreaming, but none of this made sense. Then, the bed pressed down further, and I felt the pressure of what had once been on my bed leap off, and it hit the ground with a thud, just like Roger. I sat up, and I stared in disbelief. There was absolutely nothing there, but I could hear a familiar whine, followed by more alerting barks. I slid out of bed and began following my invisible guide as he seemed to be leading me through my house. That's when I could smell the smoke. I saw the flickering of lights coming out from under the door to the downstairs portion of my house. I started down the stairs to the door to open it and see what was happening when I heard the deep, resonant of Roger once again. I stopped in my tracks and decided it might be safer to go outside and look through the window from outside, which I did. I saw my Christmas tree had begun burning. I'd left the lights on when I made my way upstairs and fell asleep. A bulb must have blown and started the burn of the tree. Thankfully, I had been diligent about watering the tree daily to avoid this exact scenario. The fireman told me that it was most likely the reason that the house was saved from that tree and it didn't burn hotter and spread throughout the entire home. They were quick to extinguish the fire, which only ended up damaging a small portion of the house. It was then that I was able to breathe again and re-examine what had happened to me earlier. Did my dead dog, Roger, save my life and come back to warn me? I knew that sounded crazy, but I know what I heard and what I experienced. I stood there, trying to work it all out in my mind, when one of the firefighters approached me and said,
"Hey, buddy, I could have sworn I heard a dog whining by the door to your garage, and I thought someone might have locked the poor thing in there for safety, but when I opened it to let him out, there was nothing there. I think it might have escaped through the outside open garage. I can ask the cops to keep an eye out for it. What kind of dog were you looking for?"
That's when I had the extreme pleasure of informing this fireman that I had no dog, and I hadn't had one for close to 4 years. Then I told him what happened to me earlier that night. We both agreed that even in death, they're still man's best friend. Thank you, Roger. See you soon. And I can't wait to play some fetch.
Beyond the Darkness.
This is the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. Let me remind you, my lovely listeners, next week is a week of favorites. We're going to be playing back-to-back episodes of our favorite past episodes from the Dark Hives. Tim has dug deep and found some of our favorites and some of your favorites. We're going to replay those as we're taking the week off to spend time with our friends and family and loved ones for the holidays. Both of us are moving and moving into new homes, so we're going to take advantage of that as well. And we will be back the following week with brand new episodes of the best in paranormal talk radio. But I hope that you enjoy the episodes, and we'd love to hear your feedback when we dip into these dark hives. If you love these episodes and you want us to make them available more often, we might be able to sprinkle them in aside from the 5 days a week. Maybe we can start making an episode or two available a month, just as an addendum episode. If you're interested in that, let us know. Dave@darknessradio.com. That's Dave@darknessradio.com. And again, I just want to thank all the listeners. If you have not heard, we just crossed our 1 year anniversary here on Podcast One. We're about to launch into our 13th anniversary, our 13th year on the air. And we're very excited about that. But our first year, we crossed 44 million downloads. We just hit the top 20 of brand new iTunes programs for the year 2017. We want to thank our listeners great and wide from all around the world to tune in and share our show with our friends, relatives, and listen religiously. Thank you so much for helping two goofy guys that love radio live a passion and share our passion, humor, and fun with you. So thank you all for being a part of our world. That means more to us than you can possibly know. But I wanted to just make sure everybody's aware of that. And don't forget, I've got a handful left of the Paranormal Challenge DVD set. It's the complete miniseries from Travel Channel of Paranormal Challenge, where Zach Beggins from Ghost Adventures and myself would take two teams to different haunted locations across the United States and pit them against each other to see how well they understand the history, the equipment that they use, and what they would deem evidence of the paranormal and the afterlife, along with two guest judges, Mr. Fleming being one of them on two of our episodes. We will look at them, watch what they're doing, critique their investigative skills, and in many cases be blown away by the evidence that they're able to present to us. I've got that complete set available on all three DVDs. It's just $30 a set. I also have copies of my book, The Other Side, A Guide to Ghost Hunting and the Paranormal. Those are just $10. You can get either one of them for $40, $10, plus $3.95 shipping and handling, or you can get both for $40 and save on the shipping and handling there, which is $3.95 for one shipping charge. If you're interested, email me, dave@darknessradio.com. That's dave@darknessradio.com, and we'll get those out to you as soon as possible. Our guest this evening, as we talk about animals and the other side, a very powerful conversation, and that theater of the mind, it gave me goosebumps every time I've read that story, and I'm so glad we were able to bring that together for you on a Theater of the Mind episode. But Chris, I want to continue our conversation about the idea of reincarnation in animals. Mm-hmm. One thing that I'm curious about is, what do you know about soul splintering when we die? I've been told and understand that sometimes the soul splinters into different factions. That's why sometimes at grandma's house, you'll see her as a young girl, where she lived, where she was growing up. Other times you'll see her at the bingo parlor looking like she did when she was 85 years old. And could it be that our soul does kind of distribute itself? And could animals be reincarnated, or could one soul reincarnate into two or more physical forms in its reincarnation? I mean, if reincarnation is how we populate the earth and we have billions more people now than we ever had before, that might actually explain to me where these souls are coming from. What do you know about that from the other side?
Well, I'm going to take this even further, because I've had some personal experiences regarding this in the last couple of years. And it was shocking to me, but when you understand creation and how consciousness works, it's completely supported by quantum physics. We all know about not everybody, but when you talk about the double slit experiment, where the particle goes through the slit, double slit, and it can decide whether it's going to be a particle or it's going to become a wave. In that microsecond, all these electrons appear all around it. And quantum physicists have looked at it and studied it. And the electrons would then disappear except one, and the particle will then therefore stay as a particle or become a wave. So a decision was made, and it came to the understanding that all energy cannot, you know, is created or destroyed, has to go somewhere. So the electrons disappear, they go somewhere else, which gave them the realization of alternate realities. So what happens? What plays out when those electrons disappear and we were to follow one of them, not the one you chose, but the one you didn't choose? Well, it's a really good question, and it's a question quantum physicists have discussed. So what does this have to do with anything? Well, experience, I don't have time to go into all the details for it because it's a very long experience, how I got to this point. But during one of my experiences, I was communicating with consciousness. And I said, wait a minute, you know, how do I control my conscious, my awareness? If I think of this, I'm outside floating. If I think of this, I'm below the garage or I'm above the garage. I'm going everywhere I want to go, which I normally did anyway as a medium with local and non-local communication, but now I'm actually feeling myself shift, loosen from my body, and go there. You know, and I started like praying, like, God, how can I control this? And I heard a voice that says, I am you, you are me. And I said, what? Who are you? He says, I am consciousness. I go, you're a consciousness, but how can you be consciousness? And he says, I am you, you are me, together we are. And I said, I don't understand. Then it says, I am who I am, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega. And I said, wait a minute, you're the creator? Such as are you. And then I stopped and I go, so I'm communicating with the creator right now. And basically the voice says, we all communicate with the creator, but we're not all ready to listen. you are ready to listen. And basically went on to tell me that the Creator created us, and we create. But the Creator had to create those for it to create, for it to experience all possibilities by giving each one of those creations its own free will and its choice and purpose to come up with new things that it would not be able to come up with on its own. So we're talking about this multiplexicity where everything just spreads and spreads and spreads. So it says to me, choose. I goes, what? Choose. Are you going to drive home right now? Are you going to drive home later? What are all the options you could do right now while you're sitting in this car? And all of a sudden, I thought of 12 different things. And it then went through each one, telling me what would happen as I chose each one. An hour later, I decided to pick one of those choices. But then all of a sudden, that choice crisscrossed with another choice because I started hearing someone else's voice calling for me who I thought to call to state where I was. I got out of my car to walk around to try to find him because I heard his voice, but he wasn't there. I go to look on my phone and I realize I never texted him to tell him I was there. And I go, what the hell? And the voice says, you just accessed one of the alternate realities where you did text them because it was a choice you had stated and you did it in that other reality. But I allowed you to experience both at the same time. So then I began to realize, so wait a minute. Some of these roadblocks we've had in our life where we're afraid to make a certain choice, we chose the path we're on now, that actually played out? I said, absolutely. Now you know where deja vu comes from. The feeling like, wow, I feel like I've been here before. Well, yes, your alternate reality persona that chose a different path, different decision that moment, got to that pinpoint quicker than you and is playing it out in an alternate reality. But now you're crossing where it was ahead of you, and you're recognizing a part of your fragment of who you are that is experiencing multiple things at the same time. You understand?
Oh, yeah. I'm with you on that. That's fascinating. Holy cow.
Because how many times have you talked to somebody and they say, well, you weren't there. I didn't tell you that. Well, yes, you did. Now, some people lie. We all know that. And obviously, sometimes it's lies. But I've been in situations where certain events or certain things or certain things, people said, no, it didn't happen. And I swear that it did. It's because they are on a different timeline, or my other self is remembering something from a different reality that occurred.
That is, I can't even put it any clearer than that. That's fantastic. Yeah, and that's a lot of what I've believed for a long time. So, wow, what great insight on that. I wanted to tell you as we're talking.
Well, yes.
Yeah. Talking about this, I mean, we can fracture. We can be that. So maybe part of the spirit of our grandfather can be our cat or our dog. Can replace that moment in our lives to be there for us. So that really, you know, that helps bring me even a little bit more comfort and maybe a little bit more understanding on the creatures that come into our lives.
The Creator says, imagine this cube. And he's showing me this frequency going through the universe of total darkness, and the frequency branches out. I saw the Mayans, I saw the Aztecs, I saw the Romans, and then I saw myself back in grade school. Then I started seeing stuff in grade school and high school. I go, wait a minute, I didn't leave this school and go to this other school. I didn't go to Hawaii to take that job that I was offered that job. He goes, oh, yeah, you did. That was the other part of you that did. And then as it branches off, it begins to fill up this cube. And once the cube is completely filled up, it says, so as the universe expands, so shall it collapse and it expand again. Because I want to experience all things, all possibilities that can be created by all the minds and the creations that I create. Once it has been completed, like a mathematical equation has completed every single mathematical equation, it collapses and it starts over again. I said, well, why would it start over again? Because then it could start over again in a completely different sequence until all things are played out, and then it happens again and again and again. For my purpose is to truly know myself, I must experience all things through all of you and all creations at multiple times, multiple levels, multiple situations, multiple possibilities. There is no limitation. All things are possible. Therefore, all things will occur. So, the fragments. When I used to channel that Indian entity, Dave, I ended up going to this workshop. It was me in another life that was an Indian in a tribe. I stood up for my tribe and we were slaughtered by some other tribe, but I always sought vengeance, so I never crossed over. That fragment of me was still here trying to get reacquainted with myself to pass and get, go back up to higher consciousness to leave this plane. That was a fragment. It has not appeared or channeled through me since.
That's astounding. And it makes sense with, you know, I believe sometimes these guides that we sense around us are the souls or parts of our souls that we walked with before. And that's why they're a comfort to us, or they're non-alarming. And I talk about this in a few of my talks, but it's been opening up more to me. This idea when people witness these beings near their bed at night, and I've often said, okay, once you get past that initial awe of seeing something standing in your room, what do you do next? And 99 times out of 100, Chris, they go, oh, I just kind of roll over and go back to sleep. And I said, but if you woke up and Dave Schrader was standing at the end of your bed, well, I would open fire, right? And I said, right, because there's an intruder in your room, but at least that's flesh and blood. You mean to tell me a dark silhouetted figure standing next to your bed and you could just roll over and go to sleep? And they go, you know, I never thought about it, but I guess there wasn't that fear. And I've often wondered, is that fragments of who we once were? Is it fragments of our soul? Because you talk about how the fact you project or have out-of-body experiences at night when you're sleeping. When are we most vulnerable then as a shell? When our soul is out traversing the universe, right? So it only makes sense that parts of us would remain behind to protect the shell and keep possession, keep negative energies or entities from entering that shell. You know Andy Nichols, Andrew Nichols.
Yeah.
He told an amazing story on our show where he had gone out astral projecting and had never really had a conscious awareness of this before. And he came floating back through his house. He got to his body. And as he got to it, the eyes opened up and they were jet black and it smiled at him.
Oh,
and he said all he could remember was he was trying to fight his way back in. And
well, that goes with the sleep paralysis when people will feel something there. They can't breathe. They can't get in their body. What happens sometimes is you're coming back to your body, but you're not quite in yet.
Yes.
You're having difficulty.
We've talked about that. Yeah. I'm so glad to hear you kind of confirm that is my thought.
That's absolutely what it is.
Right. You're paralyzed. You're bilocating, right? Your physical form is here. Your soul is out and you're feeling something, because so many people tell me I can sense something approaching my form.
Right.
I'm in a panic mode.
People got to realize is when that happens too, is low-level entities will follow you back, and they will try to get into the body or sometimes prevent you. That's why sometimes people will hear this, like a monster sound, or there's something evil nearby, or you're having to confront something nightmarish, is these evil entities will sometimes try to not allow us to get back in our body, try to trap us in between. So that happens sometimes as well.
Wow. That is unbelievable. I'm glad to have talked to you about that. I want to go back into some of the animal stories, but I had one I wanted to talk to you about, Chris. And I've sat on this for a long time, because the girls were very adamant that I didn't talk about it. They didn't want attention brought to it. But I had brought a while ago, I had brought my dog into the vet to be checked. And the vet tech, really just a sweet young lady, she goes, are you the darkness radio guy? And I smiled. I go, yeah, why? She goes, well, I saw it on your car and I listen all the time. She goes, could we tell you something? And I'm like, yeah, of course. She goes, hold on. She leaves the room. She comes back with another girl. They shut the door and they're like all huddled around me, very hush hush. They're like, this place is crazy haunted and we have got an amazing story. And I'm like, oh, I got to hear this. Let me know what's going on. And Chris, I'm listening to this story and they're talking to me, and they've got this guy. He's an older man who comes in and will offer to walk the animals as they're waiting to be, you know, have surgery or do things like that. So he's an older guy who's always been very nice and just volunteers his time at this animal hospital. And she goes, so I want to show you something. And she brings me in. They put me in front of the computer. She flips on and opens up a file. And in this file, you're watching the cameras behind the desk, the front desk there, right, where the register and everything is. And you can see out the front door. And you see this guy coming, and it's the old man. And as he approaches it, you see this dog come barreling out from behind the counter. And he's like, it's so comical. It's like Scooby-Doo. These long-ass legs are spinning, and he's sliding, trying to get to that door, and he hits that door and it opens, and the guy's laughing and giving him a pet. This was their resident dog that was at the vet clinic with them. He was just a dog that they lived in. It was this big. It wasn't like a Great Dane, but it sure as hell looked like one. And I can't remember what it,
right.
I want to say it was a Mastiff and something else, but it was just this dopey, big, lovable dog. She goes, so when she first shows me this footage, I look at her and I go, that's not a ghost. She goes, no, 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 but I wanted to set the precedent for you. I said, okay. She goes, watch this. And they click another file. And Chris, I'm sitting there and I'm just waiting. And you can hear the two girls at the counter talking. And they're talking to a lady, and she's got a little cat carrier on the counter. And all of a sudden, you see the old man come walking up to the door. And you hear that scrambling sound of claws banging on the floor. There's no dog visible. You hear the banging of the claws, and the old man is getting closer to that door, and that door blows open, and the old man kind of rears back like, what the hell just happened? And you hear this happy, roo, roo, and they all look around, and they're like, did you just hear that? She goes, wow. Dave, the dog had passed away 2 weeks before. Just wow. Great dog, nice dog, because it was a bigger breed. It had all kinds of medical conditions, and it just slipped away on them. She said, this knocked this out. She goes, it must have been almost 2 weeks after this dog passed away that this dog. And she goes, you talk about a cool moment. She goes, it was weird. We were all freaked out by it. And we were half expecting to see this old man fall backwards like something jumped into him. And she said, all he saw was the doors blow open, and he stepped back thinking, oh, crap, is somebody's dog loose? And nothing comes out. And, he doesn't suddenly feel the presence of this dog around him. But that was one of the coolest moments. And they had said for a long time, just don't please, we're a business, and I don't think our boss would be happy to let us, know that we're talking about this aspect. And we've all talked about it, but they get very dodgy when we discuss this kind of thing. But we can tell you without a fact.
Story, though.
Right. She was saying.
How great it would be for them to release that video. I mean, to show,
Yeah, well, and that's what I encouraged. I said, here's my name. I gave him my card. I go, talk to your boss. I said, I can, help spread this story and get you some great coverage. And I guarantee you, this is not going to hurt your business. If anything, it's going to blow up your business, because people are going to want to come to a vet clinic where the animals stay even after death, that they're happy there. And they were like, yeah, that's great. I don't think the owner's going to take it. And I haven't heard back in years from them. And the two girls that work there no longer work there. It's still owned by the same people. And I've often thought about going and asking about it. But I always feel weird when I go in there. So I've kind of gone with that vibe that I don't think I'm supposed to ask about this. But that was a really neat moment. And maybe for you, I'll go over there and I'll ask anyway, just to see what I can get and if they'll pass on the footage.
Absolutely.
But it was such a fun moment, right?
And a lot of people have had experiences where they felt their pet. They've had something happen. And one of the reasons why we're voicing this, it's important because people that have lost loved ones, for them to know. But it's also to kind of wake up the people on this planet. I mean, we see what's been going on, the way animals have been mistreated, and some of the laws that are being lifted. And we all know that what happened with Brexit, where they did a report and they passed some law that, animals don't have feelings and emotions, which was going to lift all these laws to allow more slaughtering of animals and importing and exporting. And it's horrible because we're losing so many different species. And then you have the trophy hunters and the fight and battle where they're shooting elephants and rhinos and freaking, and then killing dolphins. And it goes on and on and on. And yet we're dealing with some of the most intelligent, most exotic, amazing animals on our planet. And there has never been a time since now that they're being slaughtered, and it's sad. But these people don't realize that these animals have spirits too. They have souls. They have consciousness. We all know dolphins are extremely intelligent, extremely. Pigs are extremely intelligent.
Well, let me ask you about the dolphin aspect of it. I've heard tell that there's a belief that they are grays that de-evolved over time. They were grays that lived here on our planet at one point, but they had de-evolved and took to the water, especially during the times of the dinosaurs. It was their way to stay out. And that's why they haven't changed a whole lot through time. And that's why they are so hyper intelligent. What do you think? And I know you have a fascination with aliens and the spirit world.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm well versed on aliens in different cultures, dimensionally and interdimensionally. And here's the thing, it goes back to what I stated earlier, the creator, is it's not just one or the other. I mean, all species on our planet have evolved beforehand from a human form and then, of course, been created, such as the reptilians have created the dinosaurs. We know the grays are part amphibious and reptilian, so obviously you've got the dolphins, you've got whales and stuff like that. Now, did they devolve? I don't know. I've never heard that. I have heard that they are creations possibly from a highly intelligent extraterrestrial race, and it could be the grays. It could be some other beings. But these species, these not aliens, but dolphins, they have their own intelligent species of communication, sense of communication. They have families. They have children. They have get-togethers. They are playful. They do all these things. They protect others. They even protect humans from sharks. You know, the military was trying to train them with weapons, with harpoons, and they kept, you know, knocking the harpoon off and not doing it because they are very compassionate beings. They are loving, caring beings. They don't go attacking people. Why? Because they've reached an intelligence of evolution that they know the truth of what everything is love and peace. But yet we humans, you know, we're still primitive. You know, some of us are barbaric, evil. And we look at greed, money. And when I was walking through the museum, Guild Museum in Chicago, a couple years ago, I brought my digital recorder. I was doing EVP. And it was on a day where there was hardly anybody in there. And I said, and I saw all the animals being stuffed. Obviously, they were all killed at some point by hunters or whatever over the last 100 years. And some of them ended up in a museum. Some, you know, hey, I want this animal in here. And they go kill it and they bring it to the museum. All different ways. And I thought about that, going, oh, my God, all the museums all over the place where these animals were taken and killed out of their home just for us to look at or have as a trophy. And I said to them, I said, how? Animals, listen to me, spirits of the animals, please. How can I get man to stop killing you like this? And they said, you can't, because man kills man. How powerful is that? You will never be able to get him to stop from killing us because man kills himself.
Yeah, they have no respect for their own kind.
Exactly.
Oh, what a brutal, brutal image on that.
And they know this. They know this. But yet they hope and pray that we evolve to such a level, you know.
I
don't know.
I talked to, you know, John Oliver, who's a very popular and very strong medium.
And I know what you're going to say. John and I have talked about this.
Holy cow. Boy, this will mess with you. If you are on the fence post about becoming vegetarian, this may be the story that gets you. I had talked to John in one of our first interviews, and I asked him what it's like to have that kind of ability. And he said, you know, it's normally said, but it's something that changed his life. He said, Dave, I'm a vegetarian and I have been since I was a child. And I said, why is that? And he said, because when I went to the store with my mother, all I could hear were the souls of the animals crying out from the slaughter and what they went through. And he goes, right. I just couldn't eat it. I could never bring myself to eat it again. And I was like, holy crap, that is powerful. And again, something you just would have never even thought of.
Well, here's the thing. When you talk about empathy, you talk about absorbing energy, psychic abilities and stuff like that. Over the last few years, when I've eaten, you know, especially meat, like I don't eat pork. I pretty much stay away from pork because the way pigs are such family oriented, and it's just horrible what's been done to them. But, you know, I do love steak. I do love cow meat. I try to eat, you know, grass fed and this and that. But I can hear the ones that aren't taken care of. And when I've eaten meat, I felt the panic, fear, the toxicity that goes through their body just before they die when they see what's happening, and the abuse and the slaughter. And it's tough. And I begin to question, I'm like, God, what did Jesus eat? Did he eat like steak? Did he eat, you know? I mean, they ate lamb, they ate, you know, fish and everything like that. So there has to have been some type of universal thing where we're able to, but I think what's happened is because of all the fast foods and the demand and how we, especially in America, we eat way too much. There's just not the supply there. So unfortunately, a system was created with these animals to get them in and out as quick as possible and to not deal with compassion and emotions, because they have to be, you know, killed, slaughtered, and cut up and shipped and distributed as quick as possible because of the demand. I think it starts with us cutting back on all these all-you-can-eat buffets, and having worked in certain distribution in the food industry, is disgusting how 50, 60, 70% at times of all the meats and the foods are thrown away anyway because they go bad. So many of these animals, majority of these, I don't know the exact statistic now, but a lot of these animals are killed for no reason and they're thrown away, because these stores have to have a huge supply of food for everybody instead of just supply and demand. And I think we really do need to cut back on our food, our portions. There's a lot of people that can afford to lose weight, and I'm sorry, I may be disrespectful in stating that, but we have gotten to a point where we eat too much, and we eat way too much, you know, Big Macs, big this, big that. The portions are ridiculous. It's obviously affecting us as a species, which the death rate, the health rate, the weight gain, everything has gone up. But who also is not just us suffering because it's our bad, causes bad health, but the animals themselves that are being slaughtered for this greed. And not only that, people don't realize the studies that have been done. When an animal is traumatized, it releases toxic chemicals throughout its entire bloodstream that get absorbed through the muscle. Then when it's killed, those toxins are in that food. You cannot tell me, I know people that have eaten food, like I've eaten Walmart eggs, you know, $2 for 36, 48 eggs, and I have stomach problems all week long. I go get farm-raised eggs now. Farm-raised eggs, no chemicals, no, they roam free. The tastes are night and day. They're delicious. They're so good. Why? Because it doesn't have all the toxins in there. And we begin to wonder, why are people going crazy out there? Why are people acting? Why are we having more psychological disorders, depression, everything? Well, I would bet my life that a percentage of that is because of the toxins that are in the foods we're eating. And those toxins, emotional toxins, that are affecting our emotions and behaviors, because guess what? You are what you eat. And emotions are a form of energy. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. It's only converted into something else. So what do you think we're converting it into? It has to come out. You can't keep it in. It affects our emotions.
Chris Fleming, our guest this evening, as we talk about animals and the other side, there has been a lot said about how animals can perceive ghosts and see the other side and deal with ghosts. And I've heard that if you look into a cat's eyes, if it'll hold its head still enough for you, there are times you can see reflections of the spirits in the room behind you moving about. As you know, that same stuff we see out of the corner of our eyes is reflected back. I always thought that was fascinating. I'm not always a believer that when your dog stops and stares up into the corner of the ceiling, that it's really picking up on a paranormal experience. You know, if they're just looking around and tilting, animals are always sniffing and tilting to try to hear. And dogs and cats have such acute senses that they may be sensing something a block away or a mile away if it's a siren or something that's getting their attention to that end. So I want people, again, to be skeptical in nature of every claim that they hear and see. Because even as a medium yourself, you want people to ask questions and use logic before always jumping to the conclusion of it being paranormal. Now, on the other case, when you've got a dog sitting there, Chris, or even a cat, and it'll turn and look at something and start hissing or growling, and there's nothing there, what are they encountering? Are they just seeing the spirit? Are they maybe seeing another animal? Or are they seeing something more malevolent, do you think, when they respond that way?
Well, it's obvious by their behaviors, and especially when you've been around them for a long period of time, that they're reacting to something that's there. I mean, I've had experiences where I've seen this black mass come into the room, start flying across the ceiling, and I always see glimpses of it, kind of like a bat flying around the room. And my cat's looking up, staring at this thing too, like a bird's flying around the room. You know, so I've had interaction where my pets have experienced the same thing I'm experiencing, or they caught something before I did, and then I was able to experience it. You know, an ex-girlfriend had a dog that, when I lived in this apartment complex, I was having paranormal stuff that was occurring, and the one time I saw a ghost go walking through the room through the wall, and the dog jumped up and went after it and started looking at the wall, sniffing around and wondering where it went. And so I went up to him and said, "Oh my God, your dog saw it too." And all of a sudden I said, "Spirit, show yourself." And the dog's ears go up and it jumps and it starts barking. And I'm feeling and sensing a male spirit just came out of the wall and standing right there. And then all of a sudden I see him shoot through the wall, and the dog races along the wall towards the front door of the apartment, realizing that it just went outside. So we open up the door and he gets out of the hallway. He goes about one quarter, races and stops and starts barking. And I'm standing going, "Oh my God, he can sense what I sense too," all the way down at the end of the quarter. So I look at him, I go, "Jackson," that was his name. I said, "You see it too, don't you?" And he looks at me and he's like, he's not used to someone seeing what he sees. So it was such a remarkable experience for me. And that was like back in, I think it was about 97, 96, that I had a paranormal experience with a dog. And I realized how sensitive they are as well.
I want people to know too, you do a lot of work. And over the years, you have helped our show, Darkness Radio and Beyond the Darkness, raise tens of thousands of dollars for animal shelters and animals in need. And I appreciate that, as I'm sure many of our listeners do across the United States and around the world. But you continue to do really cool things to help animals, aside from just taking them in and you know, being their human companion. You also do things to raise money and awareness. And you've got something really cool coming up. Why don't you tell our listeners what's going on and what they can do to help you?
Yeah, every year I do some fundraisers and events to help some of the local animal shelters. I've been doing this for years. My mom actually got me involved in it. And next week on December 29th, obviously it's after Christmas and just before New Year's, Anderson Animal Shelter, who I've done an event for them before, is in Elgin, Illinois. And we actually had gotten a pet from there years ago. One of my girlfriends adopted a cat from there. I'm doing what's called a holiday jingle jail bail, where basically I'm going to be dressed up in orange, you know, prison garb, and they're going to put me in the cage with the cats, then they're going to put me in the cage with the dogs. And we're asking people to, the link is going to be up on social media, you can also contact them and donate money. And we haven't set the exact amount yet, but there's going to be certain amounts for me to be released. So I can't leave there until we've reached some of our goals.
Oh boy! So, if I tell tell Tim that you're put in jail and you need bail, personally, I know he's going to go out and start collecting money on the corners. But yeah, so you're going to help raise money on this, and they're going to incarcerate you until the bail is raised, and all of that money, every penny of it, goes to help the animals, right?
Right. Absolutely, every penny. It's been very tough for a lot of animal shelters, you know, because of the economy, this and that, and you know, this time of year. They do a lot of adoptions just before Christmas, but then what happens is a lot of these come back within the following week. And what also happens at the end of the year is people surrender their older pets. It's really sad. And it usually happens because they get a new pet. It's like you get a new car, you get a new this. It happens a lot. And you'll see all these adoptees going out, but then you see all these new ones coming in. So that's a very difficult time for them. Plus, they're building a medical center, and they're trying to raise like $1.5 million, $1.2 million for that. So they have a medical center for this, because right now all they got is a closet, and I've seen it, that they do some of the surgeries and this and that, and they need better to help these pets. So that's another thing that it's going to be going towards that as well. And it's going to be fun. I mean, I'm going to be surrounded by these pets. People are going to be able to I'm going to put stuff on all my social media. Facebook, Instagram. We're going to double check the Wi-Fi. We're going to try to shoot some live videos while it's happening so I can interact with the audience and tell them, send the money in, kind of like those telethons. And I'm asking a bunch of my friends to kind of help out. So it's going to be fun. It's going to start at 11 a.m. Central on December 29th, which is a Friday. So that's coming up. Geez, it's going to be next week. And it's going to go as long as it needs to.
Fantastic. I applaud you and the work that you do for animals and on their behalf. So when that happens, please let us know. We will pass around the link on our social media pages to our hundreds of thousands of listeners around the world. And I know people are going to join in on this great cause and help you with it. So let me know when it starts up. And I'll tell you what, Beyond the Darkness would like to begin the bidding. And I'll send I'll make a donation, I promise you, of $100 the minute starts.
Oh, thank you, Dave. So thank you so much. We'll appreciate it.
Oh man, you give back, right? You give back, and I know that it returns to you 100-fold. And helping animals in the way my animals have helped me over the years, it's all I could do. And I know that that would be in their honor as well. Time is slipping away from us here, as it always does. So it's a great time to visit with you and spend time talking about the different aspects of the paranormal. And I know animals, like I said, is a very sensitive topic for a lot of people, and they love the idea that we can hear from these animals and witness things like this. Now, before we leave, I would like to ask you, as somebody who's a medium, what can we do? You as a medium and a sensitive, myself as a paranormal investigator, there are things we can do to protect ourselves from the paranormal. I had Marianne Winkowski, you know her, the real life ghost whisperer. She was on one of our shows. I think it was our very first episode, and a caller called in and said, "Is our house haunted?" And she said, "Oh yeah." She goes, "You've got an older man there." She goes, "You've got a small dog." And the lady's like, "Yeah, I have like a pug or something." She goes, "Yeah." And all of a sudden that pug will jump up and screech like it's been kicked. She goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Yeah, this man does not like your dog and it'll kick your dog." And she was astounded. She's like, "Dave, there's no way she could have known this. That dog will jump like somebody has smacked it or kicked it on a regular basis." And then Marianne goes, "Yeah, you've got like I see like in your garage, I'm either getting like a push mower or a snow blower that you got secondhand from, I'm looking at like an estate sale." The lady's like, "Yeah, we just got it." And she goes, "And that's when this activity started." She goes, "Yeah, it is." She goes, "Yeah, this guy's attached to his, to that tool, and, you need to just set him straight." And that was astounding to me. But then, you know, I kind of laughed about that and it went off. But I have something in my home, in my closet, that does not like my cats. And again, I even question my own experiences. But Chris, the one day my cat Mr. Mittens is trucking around and he finally gets the courage up and walks into my closet. And I'm laying there in my room watching TV. Suddenly the cat comes flying out of my closet backwards. Like somebody had grabbed it underneath its front paws and threw it back into my room. This cat hit the floor, turned around and looked at that closet and took off like a bat out of hell. And it's been almost forever since that cat has even come near my closet. What do we do to protect our animals from the paranormal? Is there a way to protect our sensitive friends?
Well, here's the thing. It's tough, and I've had these things happen a few times, especially with the white cat. And the one cat I used to have, which my mom ended up taking, Angel, is unfortunately, her behavior is messed up because of the attacks she had from some of these spirits. There's many different types of species and entities around us, and a lot of negative demonic type things that are in the visible spectrum. And they'll attack anything that's precious, that shows love, compassion, as well as to get at us through our pets. So what do? Well, you basically have to set rules. You have to do prayers for the dead to remove any spirits that are there. You have to ask for angelic help and, you know, stuff from the light to bring peace and light. People will do sage, but sage usually just kind of irritates them, kind of like bug spray. You know, it moves them around, but the bugs come back later on. So you have to really set a precedent that this is my home. This is the energy. This is the love. This is the emotions that I'm going to encapsulate within this home. This is my pet. It needs to be protected. It is protected. And you state that because what your consciousness does with free will, it affects the electromagnetic spectrum around you. That begins to create that environment. But then you have to protect that environment. You have to watch your emotions because when you start to get negative and stuff like that, you can start bringing those barriers down that those other entities get in. Then you have to demand that they have no permission. Permission is one of the biggest things, the law of the universe for free will. I do not grant you permission to be in this house. You do not have permission to affect me or to affect my pets at all. And if should you choose to affect them in any shape or form, the angels of the universe will come and remove you. Now, what you just used was free will, but you collectively combined it with the universe, which is all powerful, and you set a precedent, like I stated earlier, of your path and destiny that is now your reality that you're living. In another reality, the opposite may occur. But what reality do you want to be in? Which one do you want to occupy? And you have to keep reminding yourself and reminding them that it is your domain. This is the energy that you want, and that they have to leave. There's an invisible world out there. We don't always see it. But when things do happen, we have to do something about it. And that's some of the ways that I do.
Fantastic insights. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you, my friend. Merry Christmas to you and your family. And just thank you for being a part of our world all these years. 13 years. It's been a great run with you, Chris, and we appreciate your friendship more than you could possibly know.
Well, thank you. Definitely Merry Christmas to you. Happy New Year. And it's always been an honor to be on your show. It's always one of my favorites, best shows I've ever done is with you, because we're such great friends. And I believe in the message that you give, because you're very passionate about what you do, just like I am. So thank you for being allowing me to be a part of the family.
My pleasure. And thank you all for tuning in and being a part of our world. We wish you and yours a very, very Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. And we hope that it is filled with all the laughter and love that you can stand. And remember, you're not alone. You've always got your friends here on Beyond the Darkness.